The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is quad sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I do feel the need to say up front that on the other side of my wall, my next door neighbor is in the middle of what I think is some sort of recording session or band practice or something. And it appears to be doing either Red Hot Chili Peppers covers or like music in the style of. So I'm so sorry if you hear that.
Do you think you could try go my best, and request that they switch to like Coldplay or something?
Do you know any Enrico Morricone? Do you know Experience?
Can you? Oh my God. I got a TikTok.
Do you know any Einaudi?
I got a TikTok the other day. I've been getting a lot of like piano for absolute beginner TikToks, which is offensive to me. But I also got one which was like, here's how to play Experience in four notes. I'm like, I don't need this. But
also, I can't even tell you how upset and offended I would be if you ever like decided you wanted to learn piano to a further degree and didn't come to me first, an actual piano teacher. Like, I would become that would be the end of our friendship.
Yeah, no, I think I'll stick to here's how to use just the index finger of your right hand to play Experience TikToks.
Okay, well, don't tell me about those because they raise my blood pressure.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's bad, but what is not terrible and bad is that we are, and stay with me here, halfway through the Grand Prix series, excluding the final. We're halfway through the qualifying events.
That is insane to me. I also didn't ask how you're doing. How are you, Netta?
Oh, God. I was so happy you didn't ask.
Oh, never mind then. Okay, great. A lot of questions answered there. So
yeah, I'm just excited to be something that's good that happened to me this week is that I went back to skating. I'm finally back on the ice. So that was awesome and fun and good. And I'm excited about that.
That's amazing. And you have all your jumps. You've got little combos. Like, I saw the videos. It's incredible. I've also recently gone back to skating.
Hell yeah.
And I have nothing but I'm euphoria because I have skates that fit me now. And so it's actually just like fun to skate around.
You have nothing but Ilya Malina's free skate from last year, Euphoria.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing a quad axel, yeah, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I'm doing forward stroking and a quad axel exclusively. Fuck the learn to skate curriculum.
Okay, we'll get there. Should we jump in? Because I have things to say.
Oh, the shade. Yeah, let's jump in. So today we are talking about the Grand Prix de France. I speak French and that was not even a remotely French accent.
Grand Prix
that was like
de
a fancy.
I don't speak Grand Prix French. De France. I don't speak French. I just have a speech impediment.
I don't like telling people I speak French because then they try to speak French to me and then I forget immediately because I get nervous. But that's fine. I can speak it when I'm by myself. Trust me.
You know what? I'm so sorry. I keep getting distracted. You know what's French that I've been hearing a lot of? You're not on TikTok, so I don't know if you know about the Genshin Impact meme. That's
a fucking course I do. What is it, like Oratrice Mécanique 99?
Yeah, it's the Oratrice Mécanique de la Lys Cardinal, I think. I don't go here, Megan. And it's all over my For You page. It's just people fucking throwing back to fucking Oratrice de la Lys, whatever the fuck it is. And I'm delighted.
Yeah, it's fun. I found out about it because the voice actor did one.
Oh.
And it was really funny.
Oh, there you
go. Like, he actually, like, re-recorded it and, like, did it. But, yeah,
so
anyway.
So that is as far as my French goes.
Well, you know, the French, I will say the French in Genshin Impact is not great. I promise this isn't a Genshin podcast and I'll shut the fuck up after this and then I'll bring it back to skating. But the whole thing is like every year they release like a new country in this fake world and it's based on like a fake region of the real world. So the first one was like Western Europe, and then they did China, and then they did Japan, and then they did like India vague, which is also something we'll talk about later. And now this one is France, basically. It's just France. And this guy is like the head. His name's Neuvillette, but which is how they say it, but it's pronounced, it should be Neuvillette. And that alone drives me insane. There's a lot of that.
Genshin Impact is essentially figure skating. There's like made up things and made up countries, and it's from what I've seen, very pretty.
Yeah, and what you will never guess is that they put that together too. And over the summer, Shui and Han, the best pair skaters ever from China, did a collaboration with them because one of the new bosses in the France region are like these two, it's like two robots that I think are supposed to be like either pair skaters or like ballroom dancers or whatever. But I mean, it's really cool. The animations are fun. They're a bitch to fight, but Shui and Han did a program based on that, and it was amazing.
That's fucking right. I saw that on the internet when it happened, and then I just fully forgot about it. But now I've been sent to the Judgment of the Oratrice Mechanique Danelise Cardinal. I think I'm saying it right. That one.
You're saying it about as right as they say it.
It's all I can think about. It's such a good like echolalia like thing to have stuck in your head. I'm thrilled about it, and all I can hope is that it stays a meme for 2 more weeks, because in 2 weeks I get to be in full drag, and then I can do one where it's silly, and then we can be done. Let's start with the women. I think we've been going, like, alternating. Let's start with the women. It sure was an event.
It sure was. It was an odd field.
It was an odd field. Very odd field. It was a very exciting field, and the women meant?
They did kind of man.
They kind of manned. There was a bunch of weird movement. There were a bunch of people who probably expected to have done better than they ended up doing. It was very chaotic, and it was so exciting to watch. And I'll say it right out the gate. I think I tweeted about it as well. I felt like women's figure skating was back briefly. I mean, women's figure skating has never gone anywhere, and it's been so fun and exciting to watch the past couple of years. However, after the short program, I found myself feeling angry and mean. And I was like, this is fucking women's figure skating, bitch.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
There was like a half hour where I was just so mean and I was ready to bully a bunch of teenagers. I didn't, because I'm an adult and I know when to shut up and just like have some tea about it. But there was like a moment where I was like, oh, this is it. And then the free skate worked out and I was happy about it. And we're all calm and collected. But there was a moment there, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I know. And there's going to be so much for us to talk about on whenever we get to this on Patreon. I think our Skate America, Skate Canada joint honorable mentions bonus episode is coming soon. And then after that, we'll do France and China,
yes.
I guess.
Yes.
Awesome. Let's see. But yeah, no, I agree. We'll start with in third place with the bronze medal, Rion Sumiyoshi. Can I take one fucking second teach you guys how to pronounce this?
Yes.
Because no one understands. Like, no one knows. Obviously people who speak Japanese get it. And then, like, even the people who try really hard to get the right names, like, no one can do it. And it's so easy. It's like, okay, you know Yoshi from Mario?
Yes.
Imagine that he is filing a lawsuit against you. Sue me, Yoshi.
Sue me, Yoshi.
It's like Tickle Me Elmo. It's Sumi Yoshi. He's feeling litigious.
Why in this situation? Why is Yoshi suing you?
I thought about that. I think it's because I, in some of the games, you can like jump off a cliff and then you can kind of like glitch a double jump if you like yeet him into the abyss. I think he's suing for damages from having been yeeted into the abyss.
Oh, so it's Sumiyoshi. Okay, that makes
sense. He lived, but he's suing me for using him to double jump for my own personal gain.
Well, there you go. Now I know.
Yeah, so Rion Sumiyoshi.
Rion and Sumiyoshi. Now I'm going to be saying it so aggressively, like, Sumiyoshi.
So Sumiyoshi, Sumi.
She very much bronze medal, however, very much winner of the free skate by several points.
Women's figure skating is back, y'all.
Women's figure skating is so back. This gorgeous, gorgeous woman. Quad two in the free skate? Winner of the free skate? Climbed up from first fifth to medal? Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Too. This was the first landed quad in international women's competition of the season.
And it wasn't the opening jump of the program. And
that was so fucking slay. I lost my mind. I was like, putting it second. Like, I'm sorry.
So sexy. It's so iconic. So cool. And I didn't feel like I needed to worry about anyone. It was beautiful. It was so great.
Yeah. Like, I was going to ask you how you feel about, like, quads coming back in women's.
Honestly, if we see them like that, sparsely and when they matter and, like, smartly used, then I don't worry that anyone's gonna end up broken by the end of it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think, like, I'm torn about it because I do think that Rion has beautiful technique, and so I'm not worried about it coming from a place of bad technique. I don't know enough to, like, look at the actual quad toe frame by frame and be like, oh, this is, you know, yeah, the shitty takeoff or whatever. But, like, I trust her. Like, she has beautiful edges and, like, so forth. So I assume that she's doing it from a place of good technique. I do tend to worry. Like, she has kind of like a small, like, youngish frame. And so I'm like, okay, like, I wonder if this is going to be a case of, like, somebody eventually, like, you know, their body changes and they can't do it anymore. But, like, do it while you can, I guess, as long as it's not hurting anybody.
I agree. I think if she feels secure enough to do it, I'm all for it. I also appreciate not banking on it. I think knowing that she can very much be in medal contention without it is good. I don't want to end up watching every single one of her free skates being like, oh, is she gonna do it? Because there's so much more to what she's doing here. That's a lot more exciting, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's the key for me. And also the fact that it's not on top of a narrative of like, oh, she's the best ever. Like, if Isabeau had a quad toe, it would be a different story, and I would be like mad.
Yeah, because it doesn't come with like a whole to-do about it, because it's just a part of her arsenal, I think that makes me more open to it. Because she's not like the girl with the quad. It's like, oh, she happens to be capable of this. And even like going into this, it wasn't like the one thing we were expecting, you know?
Totally. So I think part of it is, yeah, how it's framed around it. And also it's just very clear from watching her that her coaching team is not focusing all their energy into that. Yeah. Like other things are being paid attention to, such as artistry. And I want to talk about the short program because I feel like, especially at this event, but I think overall this season, we've been seeing a lot of programs that like could potentially fall under the spectrum of cultural appropriation slash like maybe definitely do. This event had a lot of interesting shit about that, which we will talk about in the bonus episodes because the people in question finished off the podium. But I wanted to kind of, I don't know, I've been thinking about it a lot because I'm like, I don't know, I don't want to be like a podcast of like two white people just being like, this is not allowed for like, you know what I mean?
Like, I don't know. Unless someone's doing like Slavic folklore, I can't speak to it.
Yeah. Well, so I did my research a little bit on this particular one because I wanted to see like, okay. My initial response is like, this is a Japanese girl doing some sort of like Southeast Asian / Middle Eastern thing. And as far as I know, Japan never colonized them, but I could be wrong. But it, to me, that's sort of the initial thing is like, is there a history of like your people colonizing these other people, in which case gross, don't do it. short of that, I then looked into it. And so I looked into the song. It's called Blood in the Water. It's by Kashmir. I think that's how you say it. It's just he stylizes his name as K-S-H-M-R, which I didn't. He's American. He's Indian American. And his father is a Kashmiri Hindu from India. He was in the, do you remember the Cataracts, that like musical duo that did like a G6 with that group? Oh my God, what are they called? Like a G6. Far East Movement.
Sure.
And then in the middle of it, they're like, it's the Cataracts. And I always thought they were doing that. I thought they were like making fun of old blind people, which seemed insensitive. But apparently the Cataracts was a duo of this guy, Kashmir, and his friend. And they did a lot of really cool stuff. He's had a really cool career. He's worked with a lot of interesting people. He's done a lot of stuff like with, you know, music of India and his heritage. Mm-hmm. And he's worked with Bollywood stars. And he's also done a lot of collaborations with hip hop people and American music. And he did a collaboration with a K-pop guy, Eric Nam, for like Stop AAPI Hate. And so to me, I'm like, okay, yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, if this is a guy who's like obviously coming from a place of making authentic music that's well thought out, and he's like cool with collaborating with people of like East Asian backgrounds, then it seems to me like this is like a pretty fine choice for Rion. As long as I can't speak to the choreography, but musically, I'm like, yeah, that's fine. It's not like a white person wrote like a parody song and just getting to that, you know?
Yeah, I am on board with all of this. The choreography is by Misha G, and as far as just choreo goes, she's a beautiful, beautiful skater, and he's a great choreographer, so it's fine. I do wish there was less, you know, orient vague arms, but that's always going to be the case. Unless you're, like, Tara Prasad skating to Indian music, I'm always like, what are your hands doing and why are they doing this, you know? But
yeah,
that might be a personal pet peeve. I don't know.
Yeah, like I would, again, like if you are like a listener of Indian descent, like let us know what you think, because I think that there's a spectrum of it, right?
And
to me, like I think there's like the stuff that's immediately clockably offensive, and then there's the stuff where it's like it kind of passes all my litmus tests, and it ultimately comes down to, is it offensive to a person whose background is being like honored referenced? Like if it's so then it just comes down to that for me. And so I feel like this is one of those ones that, you know, seemed fine to me, but like I would certainly defer to anybody who knows more about this dance tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. Same. I do think it's a nice program. It's, I don't know if it's one that's gonna, you know, enter my list of personal favorites, but again, she skates it beautifully, and it's a nice package between that and her free skate, which is the same free skate she used last year. She's keeping her Enchantress. I think it's a fine package. I'm not super mad at it. If it happens to be terribly, terribly, terribly offensive, please let us know.
Yeah, I think vibes-wise, I do prefer it to the pairing of the Enchantress program with the White Flowers taking a bath. Mm-hmm. I think those were too similar, which was what she did last year. They were too similar, and they were very, like, Precious Angel Junior-y.
Yep.
And I think doing something fun and upbeat, like potential cultural misappropriation notwithstanding, like that is a better vibe to pair with the Enchantress, because then mm-hmm. we get to be like, oh yes, a grandiose cinematic gorgeous free skate where she's like a beautiful, like, I love the green and blue together. It's very like heat map,
it's slash gorgeous. Like
earth goes to a rave.
We've seen a bunch of blue and green in a variety of costumes this year, and I'm thrilled about it because I think it always looks so pretty and contrasty and striking on the ice. It always reminds me of like fancy birds, but in a good way.
Yeah, it reminds me of like the earth.
Yeah, just like a nice globe.
not a Greta Thunberg yelling at you earth like Brady Tennell's, but like maybe a chiller earth that's like in a better place with her
a
life.
Nicer earth, the earth that,
a cooler earth,
a cooler, yeah, an earth that is chilled out and no longer needs to be yelling at you.
Ice caps for days.
Hey, Belgium is very good at figure skating.
Yeah, they are. And look, so if like this, we see this happen sometimes, right? Where like a smaller federation or a smaller country gets a skater who's a breakout star. And then because of the way that spots and funding are earned, they then all of a sudden get all these like, oh, now you can send like three people to Worlds and now you can, you know, this and that.
And it turns out all of them are good at skating.
And it's like, oh my God, you had so many. Where were you hiding them? And this is one of those cases in the silver, in the second place with the silver medal is Nina Pinzarone.
I've heard both and I'm not sure what's right.
I don't know because it sounds Italian, but I don't, I feel like Belgium and Italy are not the same country. I feel like I know that much. So we'll find out.
Oh,
I
love well, her, like, out. Her dad is apparently Italian. So,
oh, well, so, so I guess it would be Pinzarone.
Yeah.
And she's from Belgium and she's fabulous.
She is amazing. This was her Grand Prix debut. She did not expect, I don't think, to be, you know, podiuming at this event. Apparently her quote was just, it doesn't feel real, which is very precious. But she skated so, so, so well. Both of her programs are by Benoit Richaud, choreography by Benoit, and you can tell, and he gets it. We all know I'm a stan. It's fun. She's awesome.
I like that her ISU bio says height, centimeters.
Oh, just some centimeters.
Yeah, it's measured in centimeters because she's European and that's what we know. Okay, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
She might not even have a height. She might be a one-dimensional thing. Don't worry about it. Also, I relate to her because one of her hobbies is seeing friends.
She is so valid for that. What's the rest of them?
Social media and baking.
Yeah, she's extremely valid on all fronts. She is a relatable queen.
I like the idea that she's just likes to see her friends. She doesn't need to, like, she just, like, will drive up, like, by their house and look and then just be like, cool.
Yeah, they're there. They're fine.
We don't need to hang. I just want to see you.
Yeah, she just wants to, like, observe.
Let me just get eyes on you.
Observing the concept of friendship. I love her free skate because it's a Spartacus, but it's a very high concept Spartacus. It's like,
yes!
She's the wife. And it's like this whole, we're doing Greek myth, but we're doing girl power kind of situation. And I have two things to say. One, I'm obsessed. And two, since we seem to be obsessed with like ancient Greek history and Greek myth and all of that so much, why have I not seen a Hades Down program? And when are we going to fix that? We got fucking Song of Achilles last year, like...
Yeah, which doesn't even have music, despite the name being Song of Achilles.
Yeah, it's very much a book. Why am I not getting Aeneas Mitchell on ice?
I think Hadestown is obscure, and I think that that's something that we don't realize, because we, like, watched it being written.
Yeah, like, but here's the thing, what's their names? The Lithuanian figure skating team when it was musical theater themed a couple years back. I've seen Bonnie and Clyde. I've seen Kinky Boots. There's room for quote unquote obscure Tony nominated musicals is what I'm trying to say.
You know what I would love to see? Did you play Hades the game?
I did.
I would love to see an ice dance couple do the duet version of the Orpheus and Eurydice song.
Yes, yes.
That would slap.
Conversely, any Hades Down. So maybe we do like a Hades Down mashup.
That would be great. I would love that.
For any one of those pairs.
Amazing.
Oh my God. And you can have like the whole dance finish with like him turning. It's like a whole thing. This is not single speaker skating. I'm sorry.
Netta has to leave now and go choreograph this right now.
Yeah. I need to find an ice dance team. I think Bulgaria has one of them and they train in the UK.
I was going to say we'll get there, but I actually feel like the only person equal to the task is Adam Shoham Fa.
Yeah.
But we'll get there. Let's talk about Nina Pinzarone.
She's awesome.
And this bomb-ass Spartacus. I love it. I think it's so cool. It's very, like, if you ever read, like, the Penelope ad by Margaret Atwood, it's very, like, oh, what's the wife's point of view? I liked it better than, I think, most Spartacuses I've seen. Spartacuses. Spartacussy.
I was holding my breath and waiting for you to arrive at Spartacussy. Isabel Levito won gold.
Yeah, she did.
She was third in the free, but the math, the girl mathed its way to her winning. I think in this field, it made sense. I was fully prepared for it. I would have been surprised if it didn't happen.
Yeah, no, totally. And I think, like, I will say, I think I figured out the thing.
She's the youngest American woman to win a Grand Prix since Sarah Hughes in 2001. And the first American woman says my hero, Ashley Wagner, in 2016. So it's been a second.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
I mean, not counting. Can you hear me? Yes, I can. I can. Okay. Not counting when Mariah won Skate America when it was just mostly domestic during the pandemic.
Right. Yeah, well, I guess what I wanted to say is that I've been giving it a think, and I think I figured out the concept connection between the two programs.
Oh, God. What is it? Zoo?
Okay, so I know I know that snake is supposed to be snake, right? Uh-huh. But I believe it is, in reality, giving worm.
Okay.
Very much giving worm girl. Would you love me if I was a worm and I was Isabel Levito and I won Skate America? And I think that, so that is the worm, and I think the white crow is the early bird that is getting the worm.
Oh, my God. I think Yulia Kuznetsova is a visionary for choreographing such a incredible overarching narrative about being the first one to show up places and therefore getting rewards. It's very much a morning person anthem, if you will.
Yeah, it's a bop for punctual people. I can't relate, but I'm sure, you know, y'all deserve something.
Wait, no, because I'm very punctual, but I'm not a morning person. Those are different things. This is just,
you're on time for the night. Anyway,
I'm on time. Yeah. After 11 a.m. I'll be so on time. Yeah, I continue to not have a lot to say about them, aside from that it's a beautiful overarching narrative about the early bird and the worm.
Yeah, I think it's fine. It's not my favorite, but it's good, and I do agree she deserved to win in this field. I think that
the dress is still so bad. I'm sorry.
The dresses and the programs, to be honest. Like, they're too much. I think the programs and the dresses are both equal. They're just overwhelming to her, and she doesn't need them.
I wonder if I would be more on board if we either had programs that are more suited to a 16-year-old girl from Philly, music-wise, if I wouldn't be this opposed to the costumes, or if we had the exact same music but less gimmicky costumes, if I would be just a little bit more on board in either one of those situations. I wonder if it's just the everything is so much of it that is mostly frustrating to me.
Well, let me float this to you.
Uh-huh.
Could be an overwhelming costume, I will admit this. But to celebrate her Philly heritage and her ice skating ways, could she do a gritty program?
Yes. Yes.
Would we be behind that?
Yes. I have always been behind anything gritty. I love gritty, and I think he should be honored in the form of a figure skating program.
I think that it's actually maybe, I hope I speak this into existence, because if you're, I don't know if she still lives in Philly, but if you're from Philly and you're an ice star, like, you should be photographed with gritty. Like, it should at some point happen, right? Like, wouldn't,
yeah.
Oh my God, not the Eagles or the football team. What's the hockey team?
You could not pay me to tell you.
The Gritties. They're called the Gritties.
The Gritties. The Gritties. The Philadelphia Gritties.
They should be aware of Isabeau and invite her to come skate with Gritty. Like, I think that would completely change my mind about her. So yeah. Just, you know.
I think everything could be fixed by Gritty.
I think that in general. But what I did want to say was shout out to Mark and Reddy. This is Mark and Reddy Corner, where we just talk about how much we love Mark's commentary.
Yes.
I love that he had the absolute, like, bravery, like, braver than the Marines, to be like, the only time Isabeau looks inelegant is in the lead up to her Let's. And I'm like, look, you put it so much nicer than I would have. But like, thank God there is at least one other voice of reason who is acknowledging that the preparation pose for her Let's is not perfect. I'm not saying it to be mean. I'm saying it that like I feel insane when we say everything about her skating is perfect and elegant. And then she does have a couple things she does that are clunky. Like, can we just say that?
We can, and I agree with you. However, I think the person to blame here is one Mr. Alois Lutz, the inventor of the Lutz, because the Lutz makes no fucking sense. It's a stupid jump. I don't know why it's one of the six jumps, and I don't like it. And I think there's very few people in this world, Shomo Uno, the end, who can make a Lutz look fine.
It's like the meme of jumps. It's like he was like, he did it for the Vine. He was like, what's the weirdest jump I could come up with? What's the one no one's done yet? This dumb one? Okay. And then it caught on somehow.
Yeah, it literally feels like, oh, let me figure out the worst combination of edge and where I'm picking from and everything else. And then let me do it. LOL. Oh my God, it worked. And now it's over 100 years later and people are doing it, but it's quads and triples and it looks unhinged. Thank you for coming to my Lutz hating corner.
Welcome to the roast of Alois Lutz. No, I just think that it's fascinating to me that this has, as much as we complain about it, it's always been kind of part of the sport of like, how do we metagame this to make something so unique that even if it's ugly, people have to acknowledge that it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the same in like gymnastics and stuff. And diving and basically any sport that's developed insanely over the past 100 years where it used to be the case that things that are now considered basic skills used to be Olympic level. And we've just been trying and trying and trying to build up on it. And sometimes you end up with a deeply inelegant lead up to a jump.
Yeah, happens to everybody. But anyway, genuinely congratulations to Isabeau. Like, we're kind of mean about her, but at the same time, I really don't have actual, like, bad, mean thoughts towards her. I think she seems nice, and I like watching her skate better than I like watching a lot of people skate, and also I like other people better than her, and it's fine. It's not like, I don't know, I just prefer, I would have loved it if, like, Wakaba won, but, like, you know what I mean? We have our favorites, and...
Yeah, and that's fine, and I would never bully this child in real life. I just have opinions, and they're mostly about her team.
Honestly. Yeah, they're really not about her. Like, yeah. I actually think she's really great, and I think her team is not, like, giving her stuff that will showcase that. So yeah. I just want to be clear about that, because I don't want it to be like, oh, like, I'm a hater. Like,
no, I'm excited to potentially see her develop out of this. It's very hard to sell me on, like, a starlet, you know?
Totally. Like, a little ingenue. Like, yeah. It's difficult. Like... Get into your 20s and then we'll see, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited for her growth. And I'm excited to see her at the final because at this point, the girl math has already worked out. We're going to see her at the final and that's exciting and fun.
Yeah, there you go. Shall we talk about men?
Yes, please. My God.
It's okay, about time.
Peek behind the curtain. We played Dungeons and Dragons with our friends 15 minutes after the end of the free skate. Megan hadn't had a chance to watch the free skate because she was doing other things. And I got on her Zoom call and I was just giggling. And I had to contain myself so hard for the 3 hours and like a half that we played Dungeons and Dragons. Because the men's events happened so much. And I'm so thrilled about this outcome.
Yeah, and then, like, conversely, on my side of things, after we finished playing, I went and watched it, and I was like, I can't believe that, like, Netta deserves an Oscar for the straight face that they maintained all afternoon.
I think I managed that because I was watching the end of the men's free skate with my roommate, who, again, has gotten into figure skating just because he lives with me. And while we were waiting for the final scores to come in, I was already doing the thing of, like, they're about to fuck it up. I don't know how, but they're going to find the numbers they need and it's going to. And then it didn't. And I cackled in a way that is fully not kind or nice or legal. And my long-suffering roommate just turned to me and he went, "Happy New Year." He was like congratulating me as if I won something just because I was, I had a full, like, the cameras are on me and I've just won an Oscar kind of moment of just giggling. What happened let's talk through this podium.
Let's talk through it. But I do want to say, I think this is the universe rewarding you for having spent so many years in the Les Mis fandom that you finally got to see a French underdog come out on top for once.
How dare you? All of the time I spent in the trenches reading Les Mis fanfiction has led up to
all of
this.
The time you spent at the barricade on
all
AO3.
Of the time, all of the time I've spent building my empty chairs and empty tables has led up to this. Wait, but now I'm thinking about Adam doing a Les Mis program. He doesn't need to do it. It would not work, but now I'm thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, but we yeah, but well, I'm you thinking can think about it. Let's also think about Yuma Kageyama, who came in third and got the bronze medal.
Yuma Kageyama, who is back.
We are so fucking back.
We are so fucking back. I need to talk about this set of programs as a package.
Yeah.
I know people like to meme on Imagine Dragons, but we're still in what did Netta do this summer kind of categories here, because I haven't told you about everything on mic. I saw Imagine Dragons in concert this summer. They came to Sofia, and it was one of the best gigs I've ever been to. I went in just because all of my friends were going, and I was like, sure, we'll go and enjoy it. They are, first of all, fantastic live. Second of all, their singer, whose name I think is Dan, fantastic stage presence. You can tell they used to be church people because he speaks to his crowd as if he's preaching, but like in that moving emotional way. And also their bass player in our tiny Eastern European country played, his bass is the colors of the trans flag, and he has like the strap for the bass is just like a rainbow pride flag. And I'm obsessed with him. And I guess I'm coming out as an Imagine Dragons stan, is what I'm trying to say here.
I feel about Imagine Dragons approximately the way I feel about Coldplay, except, like, I think I have a little more nostalgia with Coldplay because they kind of came onto the scene when I was in high school. And any music that came out when I was in high school is always going to have, like, extra emotions on it for me, because just teenage emotions are insane. Whereas Imagine Dragons came out when I was in college, and so I was slightly more jaded at the time. But I do think some of their songs are good, and some of them are not for me. And, yeah. I don't know, their vibe sounds cool. Here's the thing. I kind of always support, like, a Gen Z type age male skater skating to Imagine Dragons, because what I have observed as a music teacher of kids who are, like, maybe a little younger than that, but, like, kind of in the same umbrella, mm-hmm. is that for, like, guys are like if they young men / like male children, like when they hear Imagine Dragons, like specifically the Hypebeast songs,
yeah,
like Believer or yeah. like Radioactive or whatever, yeah. they are imbued with the strength of like a mother lifting the bus off of her child. Like it does something to them. It's like in the way that like Shawn Mendes makes them all cry, like Imagine Dragons makes them all super capable.
Yeah, the thing is, I mostly consume Imagine Dragons via they are one of my roommate's go-tos for drag numbers. So I mostly see Imagine Dragons in the context of queer crowd consuming a drag artist who is imbued with that same power. Yeah, and so I mostly get to see like a queer crowd of people consuming this music via a drag artist with that same power of mothers lifting cars. So I think that's why I enjoy
mother is
the hype
lifting
songs
cars
is because of that. It's very much like it is car commercial music, but it's also it makes boys feel capable music.
Honestly, I think that that's the same. Like, If music is not making boys and or like Subaru lesbians feel capable, why is it in a car commercial?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm Don Draper. No, apparently.
One of us works in advertising.
And it ain't me.
You know, you would think. No, but I think it's a deeply unhinged choice in a way that I have to respect.
I love and it. Then, I just think it's, yeah, I think it's like a reminder of the fact that despite being like unbelievably talented and serious and like
an Olympic silver medalist,
Olympic silver medalist at such a young age, seeming so focused, like that he's a kid, like he's, you know, a college student and a young man in the current era. And of course he like, as a person of that demographic, like pops off to Imagine Dragons. Like, I don't know. I find it endearing to be like, okay, yeah. Like, he's not just sitting at home listening to the Gladiator soundtrack or whatever, which yeah. is valid if you are. But
It is very humanizing and it's very charming and it's funny. And I do think the big scream into the chorus of that song bangs, because maybe I am a little bit of a secret college boy in my heart. However, I will never, ever, ever not laugh at the beautiful lyricism of starting verse one with first things first, and then second things second, and then just going on and not editing that out once you're finished writing the song.
Yeah, I respect it.
Yeah, because like I don't
like the part where he goes, pain!
Yeah.
That's a fun thing to include in a song.
I think people should scream about pain more. But then again, I did grow up as an emo kid, so maybe I am conditioned to enjoy music where people are screaming about pain.
Now, how do you feel about Rain and the Black Eyes?
Yeah, Rain and my black eyes. I feel like it's been raining, comma, in our black eyes for 17 years now. I feel like that song is constantly on loop in my head. I think it's always
Rain
ongoing.
In my black eyes?
In
it's
this
more
economy?
Than you'd think. Oh.
It's one of the two. It's one of,
it's
the,
one
two.
Of the two.
I wanna,
they want to meet me?
I want to make the meme now of the woman with the, from the Spiders meme, but it's Rain
yeah.
in my black eyes.
Yeah. I think that this is a case that I've actually been seeing this a fair amount this year of like, a skater taking a warhorse and being like, I don't care if it's done to death. This was made for me specifically.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm going to
yeah.
do the definitive version. Because Yuma has that unbelievable intensity that this song demands. And I'm like, yeah, this is the right choice for him in spite of everything.
Yeah, I think as he was skating out, you know, we get the little bar with the music. And I saw the little bar and it says, Rain in Your Black Eyes. I'm like, Jesus Christ, not again. We've seen it so many times and I enjoy it. I think it's a gorgeous piece of music and I actually always enjoy it. But I had a moment of like, oh, God. And then halfway through the program, I was like, wait, this is the one. This is it.
I mean, how could Yuma ever miss? He's so unbelievable, and he has this quality that he brings to the ice that really no one else is bringing. And there's so many men like that in the field right now where it's like yeah. they are the best at their own little flavor of what of their stees. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they've right. It's like the, I can't think of any other way to say it, but like I just he's so clearly in a league of his own. And that's not to say that there aren't a handful of other guys who are also in a league of their own. It'll be fun to see them go up against each other, presumably yeah. in some combination at the final, whether it's Yuma and others or whatever. But I just am so thrilled he's back because he brings something so individual to the ice.
Yeah, it really kind of hit me when I was watching him skate that we've really, really missed him in this field. And it's so exciting that he's back. And honestly, this wasn't his best free skate. We're gonna see this program grow even more, and it's just very exciting. This season is already proving to be so exciting for the men, and as we transition into talking about the silver and gold medalist, where I kind of want to bring up some more things about that to you, because I've been having some thoughts.
Sure, yeah, well, let's transition to the second place winner, silver medal, Ilya Malinin.
Feels weird to say, doesn't it?
Feels right, but weird.
Silver medalist, Ilya Malinin.
Honestly, like, it feels like that's where he belongs. And, like, I'm sorry yeah. if that's, like, a cruel thing to say, and I don't mean it that way. I don't mean, like, he's not a winner. I just mean, like, his skating is like, it feels silver medal to me. It feels like among the best, but also super plausible that somebody would be better than him. But maybe just one person, not a lot of people, but I'm sure there's one person.
I said that on Twitter when I was watching the event as he was delivering his free skate, which was good. I literally was like, this is the skate which gives you silver in this field. And that's a good thing. That's an exciting thing. The other thing, spoiler alert, Adam won, in case you didn't know. Something that I've been thinking about since the end of the men's free skate, because Adam and Ilya were doing shows over the summer with each other, and they've talked about how seeing each other's respective styles like is inspiring to them, and there's little videos of them doing, you know, side by side aerials and whatever.
I love that.
It has hit me that we're witnessing the first events in what's, I'm sure, going to be a long history of this like friendship rivalry. And that made me very emotional to realize, because I'm so used to like the iconic friendships and rivalries that we've had in the past, that I'm like, wait a minute, this is a new one. We have a new guard of guys, and they get to have their little things and their little dynamics. And I'm quite emo about it.
Yeah, it's like, for me, it's like that, and then like the little like bros trio of Cao, Yuma, and Shun.
Yep.
We're all like little buddies.
Yep.
I just like, it's so, I'm like, oh yes, this is what gives me life, is this like off-ice friendship, camaraderie, like friendly competition. And yeah, like God willing, they get to have these like long, awesome careers where they get to continue these dynamics and develop them and push each other. I don't know that I have anything like crazy original to say about Ilya's skating. I do genuinely think that he's become a much more entertaining skater this year.
Yeah.
And it's really, 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 really good. And only going right after Adam would you notice that it's not as technically and artistically sophisticated. You know what I mean?
It's just having to go after the free skate that Adam put down was just not great for him. And it wouldn't have been great for basically anyone in the past,
no,
however many years. I'm about to get doxxed.
It just felt like, you know, if you go to like a festival and then they have like a concert at the end of the winners, like a music thing or whatever,
because
that's what, my frame of reference, it's like they have like the best person in the like college division, and then after that they have the winner of the high school division, and it's like, yeah, both of them are the best, but they're not in the same division, you know?
And I think that's so, so, so fine. And I'm excited. I think it made sense for this particular event for them to go, you know, first and second in the short program and then switch. And the first and second in the short was like a 0.5. It gave me everything I need from men's figure skating.
That did feel kind of bullshit to me, though, because
it was. Oh, they found those 0.5 magically, and I think that's part of why it worked so well for me in the free skate, is both of them put down nearly the best that they're capable of, and that made Adam's 3-point lead so undeniable. There was no way for the math to work out in Ilya's favor, regardless of how much he's been, you know, prepped to be the one. And I think that's such a interesting narrative. I think it's so much more interesting for him going forward to not be, you know, the predictable definitive favorite. I think it's so much more exciting that we have two powerhouses, you know?
Yeah, and I feel really vindicated, because I feel like I've been saying for a few years now, like, we're gonna see Adam, like, be among the best on the world stage. Like, he's just always had that it factor. I'm fine to move on to Adam. I do have like a growing marinating theory in my head about Ilya and the succession program, but I kind of want to save it. So we'll talk about
it. You're gonna get to share it the final, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I'll like work on it more and share it at the final.
Beautiful.
I do want to talk about the gold medalist in first place, Adam Siavenfa of France, on home ice. on home ice delivering that performance.
Delivering that performance, joining the club, becoming the sixth man to break 300 points overall with 306.78. It's not even just like, oh, he barely broke it and he's joined. He is firmly in that club. Over 100 points in the short, over 200 in the free, over 300 total. And my God, undeniable, undeniable man.
Yeah, and that to me is like, it's a little bit of a surprise, but not really. Like, it's not a surprise to me that he did it at all. It is a surprise in that, like, that's not a name that you see get mentioned in the same breath as, like, the other 300 beating skaters at that often yet. But like the fact that it did happen, I'm like, yeah, actually, that feels totally right.
So it makes sense with my fantasy. And yeah. I think Adam is one of those skaters. I think he's like Kaori in that you and I have been saying for years, like, oh, this is about to be something. And this is the season and it's happening. And it's so exciting. It's so, so, so exciting.
I just love how he's like not afraid to really, really act. And he's a good actor. And yeah. Like, we're so biased because this is what we look for in the sport. Like, this is, we know this, you guys know this. We've been saying this from the beginning. Like, we're theater people. And so we always will love a skate more if it feels like emotionally genuine and like the person's really acting. And like, I just don't think I've ever seen a commitment yes. to acting with the face and the body on ice ever, the way I see it from Adam. Yeah, like he's doing a new thing with it. That's so cool to me.
There's been people in the past, like 20 years of figure skating, which is just what I'm going to speak to because it's what I remember from my actual life. We've seen
only
20, people,
you're a baby.
Well, I'm not, but this is like what I remember. I've seen people who are great at emoting, at telling you the story. You know, there's always been like people who are good at emotion and at skating in a believable manner. But I think in a different, more technical sort of way, Adam seems to get theater. And I don't mean that like theater derogatory. I mean like theater as a person who's a theater scholar myself. He's not afraid to really, really push himself with his performance quality. And I think something that we've talked about in the past a bunch is that he's not afraid to be quote unquote cringe about it. There is
how
a
could
lot
it
of...
ever be cringe? I couldn't even imagine. I mean, he's doing there's... silly shit. He's miming like a ghost coming out of his typewriter. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, he's so committed that I'm like, yes.
Yeah, exactly. There is like a bunch of what he's doing, which reminds me of experimental contemporary theater and reminds me of dance theater and that intersection of theater and dance, where you have to be willing to put your body and your like whole physicality through it. Because if you're ever so slightly doubting yourself, it's gonna look cringe. It's gonna look like you're trying too hard. And then you cross over and it gets you, you know, in the list of the greats within 4 minutes.
Absolutely. And I think like to, I guess, again, like dig into the kind of stuff like we talked about in grad school, like there's just like different conventions within different like eras or genres of performance, and you can be like the very best and still be within the confines of like, this is the way that I move my face to express sadness in this genre, in this theater form, and this whatever. And you can be unbelievable at that. And then there are people who are like, no, I'm going to do my own thing. And like, I'm going to push it forward into the next era. And I really genuinely believe that that's what Adam's doing. Like in the way that we say like Kevin Amos fully transformed like the acrobatics and the playfulness and the artistry of
like contemporary men's movement. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Adam's doing that, but like emotionally, like he's taking it there too. So like good, whatever's going on in France, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I'm like, wait, now that you've laid it out like this, is there a French novice out there who's going to reinvent everything else?
The French novice is going to be the mécanique oratrice. La, la, la.
the mécanique. What is it? The mécanique.
I don't know. And it's not that I don't know because I play this game every day. Yeah, I play this game every day and I have no idea. But
I just know it like phonetically. Anyway, I'm so thrilled. I will say we get to see him skate again in 2 days.
I just pray to God that he gets some good rest.
I just really hope he slept for like 48 hours. Cause
like dormez-vous, Frère Adam. Like, damn.
Because it's been such a trajectory. It's been, I'm sure he's had a wild couple of days, and I just hope that there's been some sleep in there. Because looking at what we have coming up in China in, again, 2 days, it's about to be unhinged. The men's field is so strong and so crazy, and it can go in so many different ways. And I am really pulling for him to keep the momentum going, because I am rooting for him so hard.
Me too. Just like, you love to see your favorites doing great. You do.
Yeah, it's just special, and I'm so excited. We will be seeing him in the final regardless, I think, of a lot has to go wrong in a way that I don't think is feasible for us.
I think a lot has to go wrong, and a lot has to go extremely fucking right for a lot of other people. Yeah. It's not impossible to win gold and then still end up out of the final, but it would require the confluence of a lot of things.
And it would be such a moment. We're not even gonna, this is gonna be terrible for audio, but I'm gonna knock on wood. And we're not gonna have to worry about it, because he's about to go to China and slay. He has been having little, like, people in the audience with signs and everything who quote him, Adam Slay Him Fa, which has given me two gifts. One, just the phrase Adam Sleehenfa is delightful. And two, I got to hear a friend of the pod, Mark and Reddy, say the word slay so many times this week, last week.
It's what we deserve.
It's slay. It's unbelievably slay of Mark to go on the international airwaves and slay. It makes me happy.
Yes. Now, before we go, you had teased a little bit before we started recording that you have uncovered the mystery behind who are the plushies in the plushie corner in the Kiss and Cry of France.
Here's the deal. Plushie corner, in terms of plushies being thrown onto the ice, was sparse and nothing huge happened. There were flowers, which is always nice, and nothing too spectacular. What was so special was the little French Teletubbies that were in the Kiss and Cry, and I was obsessed with them the second we saw them, because it felt like they were doing their own little mise en scène. They were doing their little, like, thing. They were different colors. They were weird. And I was ready to believe that they were just a mascot of this brand new arena or something. Friend of the pod Skating Scores at Skating Scores on X or whatever this app is, actually shared the real fact, which is that, and I'm sending you the tweet so you can enjoy it, they were a tribute to the ice sweeper kids at the 1992 Albertville Olympics, who were dressed like little snow gnomes.
Okay, this makes a lot of sense to me, because these little characters, who I believe we've seen before at previous Grand Prix de France's, they just seem like Olympic mascot-y to me. And yeah. So I'm like, okay, it's all clicking. I love this. They're so cute. They're like Teletubbies meets Sanrio meets like Pokemon.
They're so cute. It's also,
I feel like you could make a pretty convincing, like, typical LGBTQ friend group meme if you put them all together.
Oh, for sure. They're like, just watching the way those plushies were arranged in the plushie corner in the Kiss and Cry, but the plushie corner that they were having, there was just one that's like dissociating in the corner. There were two that were fully not facing the camera because they were quote unquote talking to each other. I can't remember who, but someone's coach, I can't remember which coach it was. But there was a coach who picked one of them up and held it during, like, while waiting for scores. And I just found it so funny and endearing and charming. I love the little...
This is my emotional support plush effigy of a child from the 1972 Albertville Olympics.
Yeah.
1992, I'll fix it in post. No, I won't.
I also thought about how those cute little kids from that old picture are at least, what, like 5 or 6 or 7 years older than me? Because I was born in 93 and in 92, they were already skating at the Olympics. And I had a little moment about that. And I hope all of them are, grown adults who are having fun and doing great things with their lives. And I hope they know that they're plushies.
I hope they know that they're plushies. And I hope that you know, listeners, that you are our plushies, I
Aww.
guess. Something like that. We love you. And the ones that we love the most are our Patreon subscribers.
If we had the budget to make plushies of our wonderful followers, we wouldn't do that because that's creepy. But in my heart, there's a plushie corner in which all of y'all sit. And at the top of that plushie corner is Megan. Do you want to hit me with a list of the people who keep
I
the
do.
lights on in
I
this
do. I also want to
here?
say I don't love them more. I love everybody equally. But I do want to
Yeah.
give you shout outs.
Yeah, they're
And I want to
just
give shout outs
special.
to,
Yes.
yeah, they're special. To special people. Casey, Brooke, Richard, Michelle, Vicky, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Elizabeth, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Bethany, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra in Winter, Alina, Margaret, Robert, Annie, Vox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Samira, Joe, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Jules, and Jordan. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys. You truly, truly, truly help us keep the lights on here at the Metaphorical Studio, and we appreciate it greatly. And also, if you're just listening and you're enjoying and you're happy to be back with us, thank you. Let people know, let us know, leave us reviews, all of that nice stuff. I don't even know where to do that anymore. I did get an email earlier today from Spotify, which was like, Spotify Wrapped is coming. Make sure people are enjoying your show. So if you're enjoying our show, please let us know.
Well, why didn't you
And
tell me that at the beginning of the show? I would have, if I knew I was supposed to make sure people were enjoying it, I would have done some things differently.
right? Fuck, I did
I would have
this with the
talked about
express.
Genshin a little less.
I did this with the express purpose of people not having fun. No, but for real though, I hope y'all had fun, and we're a mere 48 hours away from China, and I'm so excited it's gonna be unhinged, and we will see you for that. And find us on the internet. We didn't do the whole thing. We are honestly icetpod.com, and you'll find all of our links. All of them are on
Yeah,
there.
it's all in the show notes. We haven't moved. We are, as you say, a mere 48 hours away from China. I am a mere 20 minutes away from being late for work. So I'm gonna say goodbye, everybody. I love you, and I will see you soon.
Bye, y'all.